Very well. I will just keep going.
Good job.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Thank you very much.
Proud of you.
Yay! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Zelda Universe Podcast. We thank you for joining us as we revisit the many aspects of our adventures in Hyrule. My name is Connor Schultz. It is a pleasure to be with you once again, and joining me this time...
Hi, I'm Zara Matthews. I'm a columns editor and writer at Zelda Universe and podcast contributor.
And thank you for contributing.
No problem.
For those of you who've been with us for a while, you'll notice a few differences in how we're running things this time around. All of our topics and highlights are brought to us thanks to our amazing writers over at Zelda Universe. Make sure to follow... Make sure to follow ZU on our various social media channels and on our website to know when these articles are out. And make sure to check out the awesome work that they are doing over there, along with connecting with the many Zelda fans around the world.
Worldwide, baby.
Our introductory music this time around is the second Hyrule theme from The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. Now, Zara, you told me that you haven't been able to play Echoes of Wisdom just yet.
Nope.
So this
don't
is
own
the
it.
First...
Haven't played it, sadly.
So this is the first time you've heard this music.
Yep.
What do you think of it?
I just heard it minutes ago.
Literally.
Actually.
Yeah.
It's super cute. Really cozy. Really comforting. I'm loving the vibe. It's very immersive. I felt very. I feel like I actually closed my eyes as I was listening to it, and I was trying to picture all the little, I want to say, like, chibi, cutesy little characters in this game. I'm really liking the design. It's kind of similar to, I don't know if you played, like, the remakes of Pokemon Diamond Pearl?
Yes.
Ish. Like, it's kind of, like, in that realm. I was getting... a Kirby vibe from it too, and I don't know, like, if you were reminded of any other, I don't know, similar soundtracks, but that's what I was feeling. Or like a Super Mario 3D World, that's what I was being reminded of just as I was listening to this one piece. And I've listened to maybe, I think that's the only that's two I've heard so far from this game so far, but yeah, that's what I was envisioning.
The Hyrule Field in most Zelda games is your primary overworld music. And since that's the one you're going to hear the most, that's the main
one. It's got to be good.
It's got to be good. But it primarily is setting the overall tone for this adventure that you are going to be on. You're wandering through this place the most often. This is what you are feeling, or at least hearing, most of the time.
Yeah, and I mean, most of us remember that first moment of like stepping out into Hyrule Field, or doesn't matter what game we're talking about, and you remember when you heard that song for the first time, right? I feel like I do. It's usually pretty, I don't know, momentous.
It's the number one, and for the most part, since we're talking about the glory of adventure, that's the kind of adventurous spirit that the music is going to be giving to you.
Yes.
When you talk about how calm and cutesy and thinking of all of those different ones, those different games, you look at the style, and of course, Echoes of Wisdom is made by the same people who made the Link's Awakening remake. And...
oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I have to say that this design, this style fits Echoes of Wisdom so much better than it fit Link's Awakening, in my opinion.
Really?
That's because...
never played that either.
It's really good. Awakening.
I feel like I might have started it on the Game Boy Color. No.
Yes.
Does that sound correct? I'm such an expert.
It was on that.
Totally, so just like
Link's
revealing
Awakening
how little I know.
Has a ton of things. So it was originally on the original Game Boy. Had a DS
That's
version on the Game Boy Color.
Right. So I have it on Switch online, and so I started it. Did not get very far. I got stuck in the woods with the raccoon, I'm pretty sure. But I do have a Switch case with Link's Awakening, the remake, like on the front of it. So
oh, yeah.
I've got that.
The tone of Link's Awakening is much less cutesy. And for me, the story and everything that's surrounding Link's Awakening, I feel like this new style doesn't really fit Link's Awakening all that much. But with this opportunity for them to create a completely new game surrounding this style, I feel like it works so much more effectively. Everything works in concert with each other. And the simple fact that you are playing as Zelda, so of course, when everything is up and ready and you are fully out on your adventure, since this is the second iteration of this game, of this song.
Yeah.
It's distinctively Zelda.
It shifts
Zelda.
A little bit. Okay.
You open with Zelda's Lullaby.
Yeah, I really like that.
Continues into this adventure.
That's interesting. I wonder why. I guess I was kind of wondering at first when this game was first announced why they went with the same art style or graphics style as Link's Awakening. To me, I was like, well, that doesn't make sense because now it looks like a sequel. And then why would they not go with a whole different redesign? But I guess if it ain't broke and it fits, you know, why not keep it? But
this isn't the first time that,
you know,
this isn't the first time a studio has gone with in a particular direction and then pivoted as things went. Oracle of Ages and Seasons initially started as Capcom was tasked with trying to create a remake of the original Zelda. The only difference in this case is they scrapped that remake and went straight into a new IP. Well, not IP, but a new game.
Yeah, they look pretty different. I guess Oracle's Seasons, Ages do have a very distinctive look.
And then they just went into a Minish Cap, which is a whole
different... which was very different as well. Pivoted again. Yeah, Minish Cap. Another game I need to finish. Maybe.
So
maybe someday.
Zelda. So
much
time.
Zelda, so little time.
And so much to talk
so
about.
So many shiny things that I want to go chase after.
Oh, it never ends. And we're glad it never ends, but it's also frustrating that it never ends.
Yeah. We're not churning out games, so it's not so bad. We have time.
Well, thank you to Kayla Danderend.
That's right,
and
Kayla.
My apologies
that one.
In advance for anybody whose names
name we butcher.
I do my best. But thank you for highlighting this music on Medley's Melodies, which is a regular column on Zelda Universe. Most of these
all about music.
Literally all of these initial conversations are from our excellent columns team.
Yay!
And moving onward and continuing in Echoes of Wisdom.
Yeah, a lot
we
of
are
echoes
broadcasting...
today.
What?
A lot of echoes today. A lot of echoes content.
A lot of echoes content. At least, you know, we're starting out that way. It's a new game, which means there's a lot of reasons for people to jump into this new content to look into. And so we move from the outside in Hyrule Fields to the interior as we take a look at Zelda's
bedroom.
We have Zelda's bedroom as our geographical feature here. From the Tingle's Maps column.
Tingle's Maps is our locations column, where we highlight a different location. I don't know, dungeon, landscape, you name it.
Now we just have a singular room to look at, which is a unique room.
Yeah, it's super cute. I know I've said that a million times.
I guess technically the third, though it's essentially the second time we have seen Zelda's room.
I was gonna say, I was thinking about this earlier, like how many iterations of Zelda's room have we seen? Because I was
really
thinking, does she have one in Breath of the Wild /
She does.
Tears of the Kingdom. She does have one. I'm remembering that correctly. It's not just her study. I don't know. I think I'm forgetting exactly.
So there were essentially, you had her bedroom and then there was a bridge that crossed over to her study.
Okay. That I do remember. And we have... Okay, so we have Breath of the Wild, TOTK. I don't know if that's... Anyway, not...
It's
Tears of the Kingdom,
I
should
map,
be.
So it's the
same
room.
Map, same room. And then we've got Skyward Sword. Yeah?
Skyward Sword, that's right.
Can we actually go in that bedroom? Because someone featured it on Tingle's Maps.
You have to clip through a wall, sneak in. So what happens is on the top of the academy, there is a chimney. If you have the claw shots, you can hook into the top of that chimney and go down the chimney.
Wow.
If you do that, you end up in this little crawl space. There's a somewhat disturbing Easter egg because you can see into the bathroom and Headmaster Kipora is taking a bath.
So you see
him bare chest.
That's
nothing
cute.
Below, but bare chest. It's like, oh, well, you're in there. Okay, that's nice. But then you go through a little crawl area nearby.
So that's why it's locked. Yeah.
Yes. You go through a crawl area nearby and you drop down into Zelda's bedroom.
Here I was thinking like some scenario where somebody at the school was like going to pick the lock to her room or something to help you. You just go through the chimney.
Go through the chimney at night. There's the headmaster. You drop in and there is a piece of heart in there.
Right. And there's some gratitude crystals in there or something. I think
some
that I had
crystals.
Seen that.
There's a little tingle plushie because.
Oh my God.
Easter eggs.
As soon as we get off
we're spending
this
all this time talking about Skyward Sword. We're not
this.
Even.
That's okay. We allow Zelda's for bedroom. Tangents. Remember?
We do. Just fun. It's like, we're going to talk about Echoes of Wisdom, Skyward Sword.
Well, we're still on theme because we're talking about Zelda's bedroom or whatever versions, right? Bedroom. So
the first thing I noticed about this bedroom when I first walked into it was
the cat.
Zelda has a kitty.
That's what I was going to say. It's the first thing I noticed too. It's like, she has a cat.
There are a lot of cats in this game. The cats in the game don't move all that much. They can. Our cat doesn't move all that much. I don't recall. But there are a lot more cats than dogs in this game. Which is an interesting...
Does Zelda have to, like, magic, like, her own bed? Does she have to create her... Like, I see that there's the icon here that I'm looking at. And the screenshots on the article, because you know how she can, I don't know, help me out, dude. I haven't played this game. Create an echo.
Yep.
And make that item appear. Does she have to do that with her bed?
She can do that with her bed. So when you start at the very beginning.
Or she can get the echo of her bed from her room. Is kind of what I'm getting.
I edited this article.
I should know. This is how bad
Good job. One of the first echoes you get is this old decrepit bed that you can create an echo of and use as a bridge or a platform.
How many people saw that coming? I did not.
It was great.
Just acquired.
It's absolutely great.
Bed.
You sleep and you get your health back. It's awesome. There are two additional iterations of the bed. There's a nice bed and then there's Zelda's bed. Because it's Zelda's bed,
premium
it's
bed.
The one that she is most familiar with. She's most comfortable in that bed. It's the one that gives her the most and fastest health recovery.
Nice.
Yes, it's a great bed. It's a wonderful thing to have.
She's got her cat. She's got a tree. A vanity. What appears to be makeup and jewelry. Stephen says she slays more
plushie.
Than monsters.
Hey.
And a horse plushie.
I love the horse plushie.
Yeah, because it's like a mini version of her actual horse. That's what I've heard. Yep.
It is, in fact.
A pony, actually, according to this.
Oh, well. Let's see. There's a picture of Zelda on the wall. It's really entertaining. This is an audio-only podcast. Go into Zelda's bedroom. You're going to find cute things. It's great.
Yeah, she's got her own portrait there. Some books. Her little couch. Yeah. And I think the flower kind of looks like there's like a potted flower on one of the – like on her dresser. Kind of looks like one of those Silent Princess ones. No?
The Silent Princess is blue and white.
Oh, well, like,
and we have,
looks
pink
like it
and
to
red
me.
Flowers here.
No, I'm talking about the one
at the left
on the
side,
other
the
side.
The left side. Yeah, the
Sorry.
Left side. No, I completely overlooked that.
I was like, what are you talking about? Are we looking at the same picture? Yeah.
Yes, we are looking at the same picture.
Ah. What do you think?
You know? Maybe.
New fan theory. Little Easter egg. What do you guys think?
Little Easter egg.
Leave us a comment.
It's not blue.
Write to us and tell us what do you think. Yeah, but it could be. You know what I mean?
At the very least, it could be a reference, if not
is
a distinct
Echoes,
Easter egg.
Does Echoes take place in Hyrule?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I was going to say...
I was like, don't you dare bring timelines into this.
No, I'm not bringing timelines
into it. Don't you dare.
I just needed that for context. Because if this was a different world, like a parallel world, which we'll probably get into more discussion about later, because our feature talks about parallel worlds. If it was a parallel world, it could be like a silent princess, but a different color. Like, I don't know. But maybe there's just different colors of silent princesses within Hyrule. I don't know. Could be.
Maybe.
That could be a thing. But yeah.
Well. Man, there's a whole... We went on for a long time talking about this one room. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I really
like
this article.
There's so much to discover if you're willing to take a... Just sit and look. It's fun.
Yeah, just take a little cat nap.
Sorry. Ah!
Sorry.
No, never.
Write a catnap
never
on the
apologize.
Brain.
Intend your puns. Puns.
Okay,
are
no,
amazing.
But I need to explain. I have catnaps on the brain because before we got on this call, I was watching a video on Facebook of 60 Second Docs. I don't know if you follow this channel or not. But there's a guy who he's a senior and he volunteers at a cat shelter. And every day he goes into this cat shelter and takes catnaps literally with the cats to like keep them company and play with them and engage them. It's so cute. And I'm like, where do I apply for this job? I know it's a volunteer job, but like, can you imagine if that was what you had to do every day? It's amazing. He takes cat naps. That's what he does. Literally
cat
naps. Cats,
so that would kill me.
Not a dream for Connor.
I like
for
cats,
me personally,
but I'm allergic,
I would love to do that. Yeah. That's my story.
Well, thank you for your story. And shout out to cartographer Stephen Langlais.
Yes.
Scouting out the location. And now we take a move over from Zelda's bedroom to Zelda's study, where we look into
Zelda's
the annals
study.
Of Hyrule's history to uncover lost history, hidden lore, and fun facts pertaining to the legend. This episode's legend. Tidbit comes to us thanks to the work of researcher Aaron Talon.
Yay!
And Zara, you're the one who suggested this to us.
Yeah, I did.
What's going on?
Okay, so Zelda Study is our trivia column, quote unquote. That's what we normally call it. And so you never know what you're really going to get out of this column. It's kind of just like fun facts, things that you might not commonly know about the series. But I think a big theme that we're looking into for today's episode is parallels. So we have drawing parallels between different games. What are some threads that we can kind of pull out that run through these different stories, these worlds, these characters that are similar or, you know, the same in a lot of ways. So I'm going to ask Connor if he wants to do just a quick lightning round of trivia. The category is nicknames.
Okay.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it because it's going to be so easy. You're going to know this for sure. The
if
category
you say
is...
So.
Link's nicknames. So nicknames that are given to Link by different characters throughout the series. Okay. So the first one, I'm looking for a character. Okay. So the first one is Fairy Boy. So Link is given this nickname by a particular character. At least once. Yeah, I think it's just once. Not Mr. Fairy, Fairy Boy. The difference here. Note the difference.
Yes.
What do you
fairy
think,
Fairy Boy
sir?
Is given to Link by Malin.
Malin. That is a very interesting way to pronounce her name. You got it. Double points because you got the game. It is Malon from Ocarina of Time. Not at all. Anybody who's played that game, any Zelda fan, would probably be able to tell you who that is. I thought it was pretty obvious, but you never know. So, okay. Second one is Small fry. Only we're looking for a character. This one's not as obvious as the first one, depending on...
That is the manfish in Wind Waker.
Close. The manfish, yeah. It's, apparently he's called Fishman, but I don't know if that's actually...
Oh, close enough. It's a fish with the face of a human. It's a, it's a fish with a face that looks like a dude.
I call him the fish because I get so irritated with him because he's one of my least favorite characters. You have to encounter so many times if you want to fill out your map, basically. And I just get really irritated by him, so I just call him the fish. But you're right.
Have you played the mini game where you get to shoot him?
Yes, I think I have. Good. I don't remember where that is, though. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty satisfying.
Want to make sure you're getting your frustrations out on him.
Yeah, I'll have to do it soon. I'm replaying Wind Waker on my Twitch channel. But yeah.
if any of you are unaware.
Haven't gone there yet.
All you have to do is give him food in a place where you've already gotten the map of that island. And he'll be like, hey, you have a bow. Could you do some acupuncture on me? And then you get to shoot him. It's great.
That's so true. Doesn't he have like a bad back? I don't even know.
He will jump up in the air and you have to aim and shoot. And then after the mini game, he comes back and there are arrows sticking out of him. It's great.
Has anybody ever talked about the fact that the bait in that game looks like berries? And I'm not even really sure what it's supposed to be. That is unclear to me. But I just want to point that out.
It just looks like fish food to me.
It looks like berries.
You've never seen the little brown pellets of fish food that you can get from dispensers?
Yes, Connor, I've had fish. I've had several fish that all died.
Fish don't last very long. No, the fish food that I get, the fish food that I've seen at home are like little flakes. But if you go to like amusement parks or natural preserves or whatever, sometimes they'll have these little vending machines.
Yeah.
With the little brown pellets. That's what they're supposed to be.
No, they're red and they're not pellets. You're wrong about this.
Little round balls of fish food. You've never seen little round balls of fish food before?
Yes, but they're just... Anyway, maybe it's because the icon's like blown up. But to me, it doesn't look like fish food.
Oh, because they're as big as Link's hand. That's your problem.
Well, obviously, it's not a fish pellet. Of course, that's...
It could be a big pellet.
No, I don't know, man. I feel like it's a fish would choke on that.
It's a ball pellet.
Okay. We're moving past that. We'll just like put a pin in that. We'll talk about it. We'll see if we can come to a consensus on what the bait is in Wind Waker, what it's made of. Leave us a comment. I don't even know if people can comment. I don't know why I keep saying that, but I'm gonna say it anyway.
Well, we don't have a live chat, right. So.
So
thank you for not addressing to them as chat.
I did not. No, comment, whatever, on social media or wherever.
Like, comment, subscribe.
I'm going to throw in a bonus question, and this is going to be pretty – it's kind of a two-parter, maybe.
Okay.
Mr. Fairy.
That's Tingle.
Yeah. But how many times does he say it? Actually, you know what? I probably
– Every single time we've had a Tingle.
Okay. Fair enough.
Every single time. That's Majora's Mask.
Wind Waker, and Wind Waker, but
that's
I can't Four think of
Swords
third.
Adventures.
Okay, yeah, I didn't play enough of Four Swords, so. Full points, Connor. Good job.
Woo-hoo!
I'm proud of you.
I win. I'm a nerd. I
thought you wouldn't. So, Grasshopper Link. Well, actually, Grasshopper is the nickname that Aaron is looking at in our Zelda study. So, and this was new to me when I first read this. Because do you want to take a stab at this, or you probably already know what we're talking about? Grasshopper.
Well,
who calls Link Grasshopper?
By virtue of the fact that I have already read the article.
Too bad. I hope maybe you hadn't. Yeah. So Grasshopper is Romani. Maybe?
Yes.
And
I knew. I just want to make sure that you knew.
No, I knew, but I just I mispronounce a lot of these names. But so it's Romani from Majora's Mask, who interestingly enough talks in the third person, which is one of my favorite facts about her. Names Link Grasshopper in Majora's Mask, which I think is the most fitting nickname to give him, because just he does run kind of funny to me, and he does wear green, but
he also sounds more like it when he's wearing the bunny hood, in my opinion.
Yeah, super fast. I love the bunny hood. It's probably one of my favorite masks.
It is the best mask.
It is the best mask. The most useful, for sure. The one that you'll use most frequently. But apparently, Agatha from Twilight Princess also uses this nickname, but not as often, but at least on one occasion. If you're wearing the hero's clothes, she'll refer to Link as a giant grasshopper. So that's in his normal tunic. If you are wearing the Zora armor, she'll refer to you as a jewel beetle. And if you're wearing the magic armor, she'll call him a scarab beetle.
Scarab.
Scarab beetle. Whoever wears the magic armor, I don't know. But well, fun fact.
I have used the magic armor. It is great when you are going down the pit of trials and you are running out of things to keep you alive.
Except for money.
Dude, they give you so much money in Twilight Princess. An obscene amount of
money. Why does Link keep putting it back in the chest? I don't know how big my wallet is at this point.
That's why. Because you have so much money, you literally do not have room for the money that they are giving you. And so you put it back in the chest.
I know. That's painful to me. It's just one of my biggest pet peeves about Twilight Princess.
They give you so much money. That's why you
can use the magic armor. But that thing drains money fast. Okay? Yes. So I don't even know... Which is why I think I had the magic armor in like on the Wii version and then like never used it. But yeah.
But when you don't need money for this is you are literally so rich you can afford to burn money.
Burn money.
That's essentially the
clothes
what you're
burn
doing.
Money.
Dude, high fashion is expensive.
So let me just give you this last piece, this last tidbit here. It is normally impossible to trigger the dialogue where Agatha calls Link a scarab beetle in the original version of Twilight Princess. You need the big wallet to be able to afford the magic armor, which you can only obtain from Agatha herself, thus making it impossible to meet her before you get the item. But in the HD version, it is possible to get the big wallet before you meet Agatha. So you unlock that. Bit of dialogue there. Fun fact.
I have always gone to Agatha wearing the regular
tunic. OG tunic. Yeah, same here.
Because you don't have the blue one when you first have the opportunity to meet her. And I didn't even
unless you
know.
Just ignore her for however long it would take.
Why would you do that?
I mean, I don't know. If you purposely wanted to trigger that dialogue, I don't know.
Do you not like Agatha? Why would you do this?
I liked her a lot in the beginning, and then I liked her less, I guess. Maybe because I was frustrated myself that I couldn't get all the bugs and didn't know their locations, and maybe was too lazy to look it up, but I was always getting like the same ones, and I was like, no, I need a different one, and then I just stopped trying.
Why are you blaming Agatha for your inability to capture bugs?
Because I
this
not
sounds like
her.
A new problem.
Well, I'm not blaming her. I just like didn't love her as much at the end. You know? But she's
I wish she was a little
character.
Easier to work with in Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
She's very slow.
Interesting.
Her text. You have to be very
choice for a game like that. But it's good that they brought her back. So yeah. That is our little overview of Link's nicknames. I think that's interesting.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Really entertaining. Well, thank you. And thanks to all of our columns writers. And let us move into the meat of things as we take a look at some of the more in-depth articles in our features section. Today, our feature is brought to us by Caitlin Stratford. And for our discussion, we are looking at what I consider to be one of the core aspects of the Zelda setup. Something that has been going on basically since Zelda was started. There is always, with very few exceptions, a kind of dichotomy that is set up in a Zelda game where you have a light and a dark. An overworld and, for lack of a better term, an underworld. This has been going on, honestly, since the beginning. It's been highlighted in and set as, like, the main focus in games like Twilight Princess. But in this case, Caitlin specifically calls out the Silent Realms of Skyward Sword and the depths of Tears of the Kingdom, which, going through her comparisons, probably the biggest of the extremes when it comes to why you have a mirror world and what it's there for.
It's one of my favorite dichotomies in Zelda, is the contrast between the above world, the underworld, the dark, the light, silent realms, depths, or just taking one map and flipping it essentially. Mountains, rivers, what's up, what's down, we don't know. It's one of my favorite, I don't know, what's it called, a trope, but something that is recurring throughout the series. And sometimes the most... we can't? Okay, cool. Thank you for giving me permission.
You're welcome.
It's sometimes trauma-inducing. I mean, at least for me, because usually the darker world is creepy and has more danger, maybe. That's what I found. And I tend to avoid them. Like, I have avoided the depths and the Silent Realms. Not that you can avoid it. You have to go through it at some point. But again and again, because Nintendo hates us. But yeah, it's definitely spooky to me. Like, I get freaked out. I don't like it. But at the same time, it adds something, you know?
In the beginning, with the NES, the overworld underworld was essentially the overworld, Hyrule, and then the underworld of the dungeons. That was your back and forth, which is, you can argue how much of a over-underworld setup that is, though there are obviously two very distinct things between those. A Link to the Past is where they really ramp up this juxtaposition between light and dark, where you have a literal light world and dark world. And
dark world theme is a bop, though. For a second, right? Why else would they bring it so many times in Smash? Anyway, sorry.
But that dark world, its introduction, I don't think it's been done better in any other game. Because you're given absolutely no context. You have no idea it's there. But you're climbing up Death Mountain, and you have no idea where you're supposed to go. You see this little rippling tile. You're like, maybe this will help me get up what the crap just happened? You're a bunny. There's lightning everywhere. You can't do crap. What is going on?
Wow. Oh, I don't even know if I got that far in that game, to be honest.
You have so many games you need to go play.
I know. I'm a disgrace. I'm a bad ambassador for Zelda Universe.
You have
so
much.
Hope you guys won't judge me too harshly. But I'm a 3D loyalist. I'm sorry. I'm not ashamed of it. I've said it many times. I'll say it again.
You don't have to give up your 3D.
I'm not saying I'm giving it up.
Just
I'm
enjoy just saying it's hard the for me to transition. As well. To emphasize your love for the 3D.
I've tried. I'm trying. But I also find them more difficult. So it's not for lack of wanting to do it. I just
embrace
suck.
The challenge.
So I have to get someone to help me. That's the problem. Usually with some of the more difficult parts. I Oracle Seasons, I attempted the first dungeon. And do you know how many times I had to take on the first boss before I beat it? Because I don't think I'd be able to tell you because I lost count. I got it eventually, but...
Oracle of Seasons is kind of designed to kill
you. It's tough. Yes. It's tough. It's designed to break you, for sure. Yeah, it was rough, I gotta say.
Seasons is an interesting example of taking that overworld, underworld, and playing with it in multiple ways, because
encountered a new race of people that I didn't even know existed.
There's all of Subrosia.
Subrosia. I was like, what the hell?
There's the whole Seasons aspect of Oracle of Seasons, where you get to change the overworld into four different configurations, which creates even more things to interact with. And I think that's it's a benefit of having a interactive open world to work with. And so when you work with something like the Dark World, the Twilight Realm, or the Depths, it is an expansion of the world that you're already a part of. There are reflections, there are similarities, but ultimately it is different and gives you so much more to play with, so much more to explore. And for those people who really enjoy wandering and discovering, from a game design perspective, it works wonders, because you can get so much packed in with very little extra design. It's just, yes, here's all these mountains and valleys. Let's just flip them. And suddenly you have a whole new world to discover.
Let's bring it back to Skyward Sword and Tears of the Kingdom for a second. How did you feel about the Silent Realms? Personally, I felt pretty traumatized.
I am still traumatized. That place is always anxiety-producing.
I don't want to say least favorite part of that game, but it's definitely up there.
I love it. I love how freaking terrifying it is, and the fact that it is still terrifying after all the times I've played it. Give me some actual stakes. Those things, those guardians are terrifying.
They are. Especially the ones with the swords, like that get up and run after you.
So good.
But yeah, you're basically just plopped back down on the regular map with all of your items taken away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's pools of water.
It is. It's a stealth mission, basically.
A stealth mission, which is one difference between that and the Depths, which there is stealthing in the Depths, but that's not required, I guess. No?
No.
Yeah.
I know. Usually with stealth missions, it's always in a very specific stealth area. And we've had those throughout Zelda, Minish Cap, Ocarina of Time.
I think Wind Waker was my favorite stealth missions, because they weren't really that... It's only really in this Forsaken Fortress where you have to do a little bit of stealthing, but I liked that a lot. That is one such location where, I guess, like... the Silent Realms, your objective is not to attack anything or destroy any enemies. It's more so to, like you said, get around them, get away from them, or at least get away unscathed, which doesn't really happen that often in Zelda, I find.
One of the cores where it's like of
you have
horror.
To...
one of the cores of horror of scary games is to take away
your defenses,
capacity, the agency of the player.
That's right. Well, that's what makes it so unsettling.
Yeah, by disabling your ability to fight back at all, which is part of the core of what you do as the hero, is fight stuff.
Exactly.
Suddenly,
and that's unusual for Zelda, because you are very rarely without a sword. You know. Having one taken away is like... I mean, that happens again in Breath of the Wild. Oh, I mean, potentially. I haven't played enough of the shrines in Tears of the Kingdom.
they'll take, Tears they'll the take Kingdom it away, for sure. But they'll like, automatically they take it away, give but, you something yeah, to work
that's
with.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair.
And
kind of so, like the Trial of the Sword. But then again, you're saying that's exactly what you're saying, that like you're taken, yeah. you're stripped of everything, but then you acquire it slowly through that process. Yeah. One of my friends recently made me play Five Nights at Freddy's for the first time. And I'll tell you, it wasn't what I expected, but that's exactly, that's why it was so scary to me. Cause that game is there's so little in terms of mechanics that you have to do. I don't know if you played it or not, but there's so little that you have to do. It's turn switches on and off and look at these different cameras, but it's so terrifying. It's anxiety inducing.
Exactly.
I highly recommend it if you haven't, but yeah, I'm not a big, you know, horror game fan. I just, right.
Yeah.
Dabble a little.
The, something that's a part of it also is the objective that's involved. I am not a fan of the depths, if I'm perfectly honest.
Oh my god, I avoid it like a plague.
Well, you see, the thing is...
Which is why I've missed out on a lot of great items, probably.
Debatable. Basically,
I got the miner's top, though, the glowy one, so I did that.
Yeah, basically, there's clothing items down there, which is kind of fun. It's most of the amiibo items that you can get, which is cool and all, but... You see,
I think I got some of the Twilight Princess ones because I have the Link Twilight Princess amiibo, so that helped me bypass some of it.
But honestly, that's basically all that there is down there.
No, there's the miner's equipment.
Well, yeah,
and there's the Yiga people, and there's Koga, Toga,
Koga, yes,
Koga. There's
here's my
there's
issue.
There's a bunch of Gleox. So, yeah. Anyway, that's all
yeah.
I know.
Why?
Why would you go there? Exactly. Another
no,
reason to not,
No, why are
right?
they down there?
Ah.
Why is anything down there?
They fell through the hole,
what is,
obviously.
What is the
oh,
purpose?
And one of the dragons goes in and comes back up. You notice that?
Again, why? What is... You see, this is why I prefer the Silent... If we're going to talk about which I prefer, this is why I prefer the Silent Realm. There's a purpose for the Silent Realm. There's a purpose for the Dark World. For
I know,
the
Depths
Twilight
is like
Realm.
An afterthought.
The Depths is cool as a concept, but as far as the game itself is concerned, what's it doing there? What's
okay.
the point?
Yes. This was my issue. So I have a friend who got the game before me, and he was telling me about like the general, this is what the game is like, we have the Depths, it's just like underground, and it's really cool, and I was like, oh, neat. And how I envisioned that was that because we have to go into Hyrule Castle at the beginning, right? And we go deep underground. To me, mm-hmm. the Depths was like an extension of that. Like in my mind before I played the game, I envisioned.
Yeah.
Like of like a labyrinth structure underground that was like castle, like long corridors and like places where you could get stuck or like dead ends and like different places as opposed to this expanse, which is just a copy paste of the main map. That mm-hmm. was disappointing to me. As much as it gives you more to do, which we don't need more of in an open world game this big, I was disappointed because I was like, that was a missed opportunity to have an underground Hyrule Castle. No? I thought that would be so much scarier, so much more potential. That's what I would have preferred personally.
The final assault, if you will, the final end game section that's yeah. down there is kind of what you're thinking of. And I agree, because that is definitely one of the big highlights of the mm-hmm. game is that whole progression towards the end, which is really cool. If the whole of the Depths
Fair.
Could be like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then that would have been much better. It's not great to have more space just to have more space.
Exactly. And fill it with a whole lot of nothing
being there. Exactly. There's no explanation for why the Depths exist. We can draw some inferences based on the mining stuff down there and whatnot, but aside from that, there's nothing. And it's like, why? Why are you here?
I know. I didn't really like that either. Like I said, it just felt like a lost opportunity. I kept thinking of like Ikana Castle. I don't know if you remember yeah. like that whole lore in Majora's Mask was super interesting, even though that section of the map isn't super detailed. There's not really a whole lot there. But I think they did a really good job in that game as a more primitive game, even though it's not. At the time, it was like the coolest thing ever. But I found the lore of that, that there's like this whole dark history. And I think Ocarina touches on this, but I'm not as well-versed in Ocarina's backstory of like the royal family and all that stuff. There's sort of like the spirit temple and all that stuff. I'm not really too familiar with it, if there's even that much given. But I find that like Majora's Mask does give you that. I feel, and because it's the last area of the game, it's like really, I would call it Majora's Mask a horror game, but that last section is especially so. Because you've got like,
dude, look at those. You're masks. Fighting those transformations. That is body horror.
Exactly. It's horror, right? And then you have this battle with like this dead monarch, and then all of this stuff happened. Like, I think they could have had. There was so much more potential for an extra, you know, story of something in the depths. Anyway, that's just me. I love Majora's Mask, but especially the creepiness of it, and you know, Ikana is especially creepy. That's my take.
I think you're spot on with that. When you are creating an adventure, when you are creating an adventure for people to explore, I see this as when I'm being a dungeon master for D&D, is what is the purpose? I'm going back to purpose. What is the purpose?
I had a conversation with some friends at New Year's about this too.
Yeah. What is the purpose of a thing being there? Some of it can be just to fill out the world, quote unquote, because a place needs farmland to exist. There needs to be trade routes. People settle different, you know, it can be empty, as it were, because that's how worlds are constructed. But at the same time,
there's a reasoning, yeah.
There's a reasoning for this emptiness. There isn't
enough
water.
And as long as you put thought into it, yeah.
For people to live there, or there's dangerous monsters nearby, so they can't do it. And then when you get into a temple or something, what's the temple doing there? Why is it here? What were they doing here? Even if you don't make like a super detailed Lord of the Rings fantasy mythos, which no one's asking Zelda. Well, some people are asking Zelda to do that.
Some people want more of the yeah.
The timeline was a mistake. The
fracturing the timeline and trying to force it to work. Big mistake.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. Anyhow,
I agree with you. Oh, I think everybody agrees with you.
Yeah. When you give it enough of a purpose so that it makes at least a general amount of sense, when you talk about Ocarina of Time, there is not a whole lot of in-depth lore with too many of them. The Spirit Temple is for the Gerudo, where they worship desert spirits or whatever. The Zora Temple is where they worship the water. So, you know,
I think I got Spirit and Shadow mixed up.
Yeah, the Shadow Temple.
I did.
The Shadow Temple is where they locked away.
That's what I was talking about.
The dark past of Hyrule, which
yeah, so
is
the Shadow Temple,
because
I just played this one and I'm just replaying it on 3DS. That's the part I was talking about, where you go to the graveyard and you learn some of the lore. The Hyrule family kind of wasn't so great. They did some messed up things, according to this. Hey, that's what I gather.
So, even if you don't get into super granular detail of this war happened in this year and it lasted so many years and this battle, you don't have to go that far, just enough to give you the idea of, okay, so here are these depths. They were initially used as a mining setup so they could power all of these futuristic devices that Link uses in his travels. But when calamity really started to come forth, Ganon infected everything down there and drove everybody out, and it became a hive of... And then you get enough tidbits of what's down there of this is where they did this stuff, this is where they did this stuff. But because there's no mention of it anywhere...
Beforehand?
Like, during it. All the best we have are notes from the Yiga clan that more often than not are just talking about how much they're struggling to survive down there, which, I mean, that's kind of obvious.
Is that because Link kicked them out of their hideout? Or drove them out? I mean, like, what? I don't know. Or are they just stationed in multiple places? Because they took over, like, Pura's... No, Robbie's... lab or whatever. Yes?
Well, Robbie moved, so it was left unoccupied, so they moved.
Oh, I thought they drove him out. Never mind. They just took over it. Never mind. That was pretty
funny.
No, they're
in the depths because Koga tried to kill us in Breath of the Wild, and... His giant ball rolled him over and took him down that giant pit. Which I am betting you, I am willing to bet that is where the depths came from. They're like, we gotta bring Koga back. Where did Koga go? Didn't he fall down a big hole? What's down the big hole? How big is the big hole?
At least it's consistent with what happens in the first game.
Which is one of the very few references that we get to Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, but that's a whole other
thing. Talk about stealth missions, but the Yiga clan is kind of a stealth mission. Ish, in Breath of the Wild.
Well, in Breath of the Wild it was.
Which I forgot about.
After that.
That was fun. One was fun and also terrifying. But yeah, I do remember that. I haven't encountered the Yiga clan a lot.
I don't think I've ever considered
the
Yiga terrifying.
No, but I do find it a funny running joke that Link is their sword enemy, you know?
We do a pretty good job of thwarting.
I really love that.
When they have Team Rocket levels of competence,
it's Team Rocket. It's exactly right. Oh,
your
man.
Hair's different. Huh. Oh, well, you're wearing the uniform. So bad.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, they're just pretty incompetent. But you're wearing the uniform, so you must be one of us.
Obviously.
And I feel like the Lazelfos, Bokoblins, are kind of like that, too. But then again,
yeah,
we would assume that their brains are tiny.
They're mindless hordes of darkness, so you're not exactly expecting sentience. You're expecting a horde. It's like zombies.
Well, they're sentient. They cook stuff and they build. Well, they have settlements. Wasn't there like a little Nintendo did a feature on the different enemies and at one point narrated it? I'm thinking of Pokemon. I don't know.
That sounds like something they do in Pokemon. I don't recall.
And they
like
did that
effort.
For some. Okay. Maybe it was a fan video I was looking at, yeah.
Maybe.
Like an overview. But,
oh,
yeah,
gosh, imagine cool. Some kind of nature documentary.
Like
exactly
that. Like in National Geographic. This is the Bokoblin species, and this is what they do, and this is their daily schedule, and this is following
Settled
them around.
Between the hills of Hyrule Field.
It works.
Lies a primitive, violent beast, gathering in hordes, preparing for a nightly raid.
Yep. I will find it. I will send it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Surprised you haven't heard of it, but yeah. No, I've definitely seen that.
It sounds, I don't know, vaguely familiar.
I'm not making it up.
No,
I rarely make these things up. Yeah.
Who knows?
We didn't get that off topic. You thought we were going to get really off topic, but yeah, we kind of didn't really talk about the
future. We always get off topic.
Here.
That's okay. We're allowed to. We're allowed to get off topic. We're talking about the purpose.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. The purpose of these places. Silent Realm and the entirety of Skyward Sword is very, very purpose-driven, which is what some people...
A little too purpose-driven.
That's what some people really don't like in regards to Skyward Sword. Skyward Sword is definitely
and repetitive.
The most direct. It is the most
less
linear.
Whimsical. Very linear. Very thou shalt. Do this in this order now, and you will like it too. You will enjoy.
I do like it. Skyward Sword is my favorite.
No, I do love Skyward Sword. I love hate relationship. I first played it when it came out. I got the special edition with the golden Wiimote and everything. I was so excited for it, and I finished it and I was underwhelmed. Yeah, I got that one too. I don't know, mine's over there. It's a good one. It's got the Wii Motion Plus.
Yep.
Thank God. And And then I left it for years and then came back to it again. And I was like, yeah, I remember why I really like this. I think what I love the most about Skyward Sword is just the – well, I like the story, but I love the characters. It's got a really good cast, got great music. Like you said, I mean, the gameplay sometimes leaves a lot to be desired, especially some of the dungeons. I don't love some of the bosses. But it's good. It's a good game. It's the game we love to hate, but I think there's a lot. There's a lot there that I love.
I love it so much.
Some people at Zelda Universe will disagree with him on that.
Look, people are happy to love and hate what they love and hate.
Exactly.
I'm saying that I love that one. I love them all. There is no Zelda game that I hate. Absolutely none.
I think that's true for me as well. I'd have to play all of them to say that, though, right? Oh, well, actually, there's one that I don't like much. If you want to take a guess. Because it's probably any of the 2Ds, but there's one that I really don't like that much, but I probably need to give it another shot.
My first assumption would be Phantom Hourglass. Got it!
Ding, ding, ding! So, like, it's pretty easy to guess, hey? Because a lot of people complain about that one, too. But, yeah. Oh, God.
Phantom Hourglass is fun. One of the few that don't have
I couldn't
have
do it. I just couldn't handle it.
One of the few that don't have a dichotomy between light and dark, really.
Yeah. And it felt that the game was punishing me, to be honest. I felt bullied by that game a little bit. I felt abused by that game a little bit.
It's a unique setup. Nintendo likes to use Zelda to showcase all of their tech. And so the DS has all of these different potential functions you can work with. So, of course, Zelda has to use all of them. So that's what frustrated people. You have the tapping and the microphone. There's this part where you actually have to, like, literally close the DS in order to solve a puzzle.
Very gimmicky, yeah.
It gets kind of gimmicky, which is understandable why people get annoyed by that.
I just didn't like going back to the same temple over and over again and making it worse and worse every time. Thank you, Nintendo.
That is a common complaint as well.
Yeah.
I appreciate what they were trying to do with it, which is to showcase your growth as the hero. Because the better you get, the more health, the more items, the faster you can go.
It also gets harder, but you get more strong. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's kind of the way it goes, hey, every time.
That was the idea.
Right on.
I'm just thinking back to the Silent Realms because I was trying to think how much of a progression there is with each one of those. Because it's interesting, because with all three of them, it's supposed to, if I tells you, it's supposed to test your power, wisdom, and courage individually. And then there's the last one, which is supposed to be, of course, the combination of all of them. Which is an interesting way to think about it when it comes to how do you test power in a situation where your physical strength doesn't really seem to be on display here? Obviously, there are supposed to be themes involved. Courage is the first one, which you are venturing into the unknown, which makes sense, and everything is terrifying. You've experienced it for the first time. Power is the next one? No, it's the last one. Wisdom is the next one, which wandering around Lanayru Desert, trying to figure out where everything is. It's certainly the broadest.
You're back on Skyward Sword again, right? Just so I follow.
Yes. There Lanayru. Is definitely a little bit more of a puzzle
what
solving,
about the one in
strategizing
the woods?
Setup. That's courage.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, courage is first. First time you've been there, you're terrified. What the crap's going on? Well, I gotta do this anyway, so let's go.
Yep. And then you go to the desert.
You go to the desert. That's wisdom. And there's definitely a lot more strategizing just because of how spread out everything is. And the last one is power, which I guess, I don't know. You do have to be a bit more bold and more aggressive in your collection of the tiers in that one.
Is that the one on Skyloft or is that in by the volcano?
That's Elden Volcano.
I remember that one less clearly. But the last one's on Skyloft, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, and that's the worst one too. That one gave me anxiety.
They all give me anxiety.
I think I had to attempt it a couple of times.
I've gotten myself killed. I mean, when it's one hit death, you die.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do. I did like the, I want one thing that, because we were talking about Twilight Princess earlier, like I really enjoyed the tier collection quests, which is kind of like this, because it is the underworld. It's the Twilight world.
Yeah.
But it's a lot like, I think a more fun version of the Silent Realms to me, because it's just fun being Wolf Link, and there's just, it's, I find it not as difficult, but I did like those a lot more, personally.
It is certainly less difficult. The nice thing about the Twilight Princess but version is that it does a lot more, it does a lot more to include that section into the plot. You're not just collecting the tiers.
Yeah, you're not plopped down. You can, like, talk to people or, like, listen to their conversations, and you get a lot of intel that way, right?
You see what's going on in that region. You understand what the problems are that are going on. So that when you're,
it's a little bit of detective work, like, different kind of stealth work, but yeah.
it's a great way to integrate what is going on into the actual meat of the story, which is really nice, as opposed to most of the open world in Twilight Princess, which is also kind of empty, if I'm being perfectly honest.
No, I think that's a great way to close, honestly.
Closing on Twilight Princess.
We could talk about this all day, but we're going to have to end sometime. Yeah, just thanks to all of our contributors. They were all great articles. I really enjoyed all of them. I don't get the chance to read every single column, but I do read most of them because I'm on rotation as an editor. But it definitely helps, because sometimes you get writer's block, you know, and you never know. And we tend to not, at columns, repeat a topic or a character or a location, so sometimes we run out of ideas. But yeah, it's good to just get your brain thinking about, you know, what else we can cover, because it's endless with The Legend of Zelda. It's like, you think you'll run out of things, but you never, it's kind of impossible. So
by the time you think you've run out, at that point you can just go back and start some of the stuff you've written.
Yeah, I mean, we're not strict about it. And just if you want to just list all the iterations of Link, Zelda, Impa, other key characters that come up again and again, we've covered all of those different versions of that character, right? So young Link or kid Link or whatever you want to call him is different from adult Link in the Ocarina timeline. You know, it's like they're different, but they're the same, but they're not.
It's so great. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's endless.
Yes, thank you to all of our writers. Once again, Kayla Dandurand, Stephen Langless. I am butchering all of your names. I am sorry. Aaron Talon, Caitlin Stratford. Thank you, Zara, for being here with me today. And thank you to all of you for
hosting with me.
Thank you all of you for stopping by and listening in on our conversation.
I hope you enjoy the music as much as we did.
Welcome once again to the Zelda Universe podcast, and we will see you all next time.
Bye.